This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة العالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد اليوم 16 من شهر رمضان 1443 الموافق ل 18 من شهر أبريل 2022 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات. So last time we stopped at the saying of Allah سبحانه وتعالى وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. Allah سبحانه وتعالى described the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم upon the خلق العظيم. And we quoted some of the narrations from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describing this saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Aisha radiallahu anha said, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is following the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. Yeah, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks him, he does. So if you want to know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his attitudes and manners, look at the commands of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those activities which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like. So you can say, even without seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is always upon these ones. This is the meaning of kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. It's like he precisely observed the manners that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to be upon them in the book of the Qur'an. There are some narrations mentioned by Ibn Kathir here. I think it's good for us not to skip them to show the attitude and the manner of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of them were already mentioned. Aisha radiallahu anha said, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or somebody from Bani Aswad, he said, I asked Aisha an khuluq Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, faqalat Al-Qur'an. Amma taqra al-Qur'an? He said, I asked Aisha radiallahu anha about the khuluq of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she told me, did you read Qur'an? Don't you read Qur'an? So the man said, yes. She said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. So if you're looking for the manner of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just go and read Qur'an. Whatever Qur'an asks you to do, this is exactly what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been doing. And then قالت أي رجل قال وحدثتني عن ذاك قالت صنعت له طعاما وصنعت له حفصة طعاما فقلت لجاريتي اذهبي فإن جاءت هي بالطعام فوضعته قبل فطرح الطعام. So she said, I cook food for Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and Hafsa also did. And this is the غيرة, right? The jealousy. It is there, even between them and themselves, because Hafsa is from the party of Aisha radiallahu anha. The wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are technically divided into two parties. The Jama'at Zainab, the party of Zainab radiallahu anha, Zainab into Jahsh. And also party of Aisha. You have Umm Salama, you have Hafsa, you have some others. But still, jealousy is there. This is just when it is against the other party, but between us individually, that jealousy remains. So she said, I made food for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Hafsa also made. Okay? So I told my maid, the maid in the house, yeah? She said, I told her, go with the food. If Hafsa brought hers first, kick it. You know? If hers reached before mine, then kick. Because that means hers is going to be eaten before Aisha's one. If the Prophet ﷺ is full, he might tell them, go and say to her, our apology, we cannot take from this. So she said, please, when she, you see her coming first, she's also going to send somebody. So when she sends somebody, please kick the qasa. قالت فجاءت بالطعام فقالت فألقت الجارية فوقعت القصعة فانكسرت وكان النطع فقالت فجمعه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال اكتصوا أو اكتصي شك أسود. ظرفا مكان ظرفك. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the full version of the narration, she said, so the jariya did precisely what Aisha told her to do. In some narration, Aisha kicked by herself. You know, so the thing fell down. Alhamdulillah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam managed to hold the food. In this narration, it fell down on the nita. These are the bisat they sit on. And sometimes also they have a special one for the sayyaf. The sayyaf, those who did the qisas. So the Prophet ﷺ gathered the food and he told them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you, that the food is intact. SubhanAllah. That's justice, you know. They asked him, who do you love the most? He said, Aisha. But he's precisely applying the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, this one is also not applicable with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to use the ayah that says وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not hate the rest. But this is just something that he cannot control, and he loves Aisha more than anybody else. He was asked, who do you love the most? He said, Aisha. They said, no, we are asking about the brothers. He said, Abuha. So the love is going around the same house. But the Prophet ﷺ did not hate any of his wife. He loves them so much. So much. But he loves Aisha more than anybody else. But loving Aisha more than anybody else never took the Prophet ﷺ in the way he will be unfair to others. You know, SubhanAllah. This is really, really, really a good lesson for us. Because Rasulullah ﷺ, when Aisha talked against one of the wives, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَقَدْ قُلْتِ كَلِمَةً لَمُزِجَتْ بِمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ لَمَزَجَتْهُ. You know, he was enjoying her statement until the time she said something, you know, about her sister, one of the wives. So the Prophet ﷺ said, you have said a word, you know, she described her with qisar. So short. So beautiful, but Ya Rasulullah, very short. So when she said that, the Prophet ﷺ said, this word, if we are to mix it with the water of the sea, it will destroy it. That's the evil, you know, consequence of backbiting. So the point is, the Prophet ﷺ did not keep quiet and keep enjoying the statement. When she was wrong, the Prophet ﷺ would tell her, this is wrong. Yeah. So that's the true love, you know. When you love somebody loving somebody, the true love is you are going to correct him whenever he is wrong. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Mu'minu mir'atu akhihi al-Mu'min. Al-Muslim mir'atu akhihi al-Muslim idha wajada fihi aiban aslahahu. So the Prophet ﷺ, he loves Aisha so much, but when she destroyed the food, the Prophet ﷺ managed to hold the food and he packed it. So it belongs to others. Although it's given to us, it says, this one Allah saved you. As for the qas'ah, the plate that was broken, the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Qas'atu bil-Qas'ah. Qisas, he calls it Qisas. So they had to go to Aisha and see in her room and get another one and pay that one that she destroyed. That's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the best example. As I said, you love somebody, it's okay. But you shouldn't love him in the way you harm others. SubhanAllah, nowadays in many countries, when you have argument with somebody who is having that country nationalities, 99% you're lost. He lost that case, you know. You Allah. I've been to places, you know, when you have a clash with somebody, they don't have time to listen to the case. Somebody can come and just start accusing you, shouting, fighting. Why? Because you are fighting with somebody who is a country member. It happens with the kuffar. I don't care. They are kuffar. La dhanba ba'da al-kufr. You know, any dhunub they have is going inside kufr, you know. I don't care about them. But to see it happening in the Muslim countries a lot, this is a tragedy. Because this is none other than the destruction of that which the Prophet ﷺ tried to establish in this life before he died. Unity amongst the Muslim. Muslims, wherever they are, they recognize you by that Islam. They focus on righteousness and the bad one. If there is somebody to be disturbed, it should be the corruptest, the criminals. But those people who are righteous, they are not disturbing anyone, they are supposed to relax and to be given ease. And justice is supposed to be applicable on everyone. Whether he is from your house, or he's from out of your house, he's from your country, from your tribe. That's why when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluma," the companions were confused. How come? You know, because they know that in the Jahiliyyah, this is what happens. You know, "Tansur akhaka zaliman aw mazluma," you help your brother whether he is oppressing others or he is oppressed by others. It doesn't matter. The point is, he's your brother, or he is your tribe member. You know, he's coming from the same tribe or from the same country. In the past, they don't care. They don't care. The point is, you are one of us. And we don't care who is right. You know, it's very funny the way they do things. They don't care who is right, you know. لَا يَسْأَلُونَ أَخَاهُ حِينَ يَنْدُبُهُمْ فِي النَّائِبَاتِ عَلَى مَا قَالَ بُرْهَانًا. They don't ask when one of them is fighting somebody, they don't go to him and ask him what really happened. They don't. They don't go to him and check with him what really happened. Who is right, who is wrong? They will go and destroy the other party. After they finish, the battle is done, and their brother is safe, they will come to him and ask him, what exactly, we want to understand, what exactly is going on? Then he will explain them. Then they might see that, yes, he was absolutely wrong. What are they going to do? Think they will smack him? Nothing. Yeah, Mushakis, okay, let's go home. Please be careful next time. You might not be around. You know? So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and they used to be proud of this, you know, these things. One of them, the one who was saying this, Alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was blaming his tribe, that his tribe are not like this. That's why he says, كَأَنَّ رَبَّكَ لَمْ يَخْلُقَ لِخَشْيَتِهِ. SubhanAllah, I forgot the other part of the bait, but he was saying, as if Allah SWT did not create anyone to fear him except my people. They are very gentle, very lenient. They don't oppress anyone. You might say, oh, he is praising them. No, he is blaming them. According to the Arabs, he is destroying the image of his people. He said, they are very fair, they are very just, they don't commit injustice against anyone. As if Allah did not create anyone to fear him except them. He said, I wish I am not part of them. He said, I wish I am from this tribe, those one. لَا يَسْأَلُونَ أَخَاهُمْ حِينَ يَنْدُبُهُمْ فِي النَّائِبَاتِ عَلَى مَا قَالَ بُرْهَانًا. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said that. The companion says, Ya Rasulullah, by the way, we do understand that if he is oppressed by somebody, we are to help him. But how can we help him if he is oppressing others? Because they know the Prophet ﷺ already erased this and he stopped it. And now he's saying something that looks like that to them, you know. So the Prophet ﷺ told them, no. He says, if he is oppressed, you help him. But if he's oppressing others, تَمْنَعُهُ مِنَ الظُّلْ. You stop him from oppressing others. That's support and that's help for him. Wallahi, this is Islam. And that's the only Islam we have. Your father committed a crime, that title remain on him. Your mother, your brother, your sister, your uncle, somebody who is part of your country members, he committed a crime, they remain with that title. So Allah salam al-afiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they talked to him about the al-mar'a al-makhzumiyya allati saraqat wa kanat ta'khudhu al-mata'a tasta'idu al-mata'a fatajhaduhu. That woman who stole, and they told him, Ya Rasulullah, we really need to do something here, because this woman is coming from one of the highest tribes amongst Arabs. And in the past, those are untouchable. And they know Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't care about these things, you know. So they talk to him through Osama ibn Zayd. They think that Osama can convince him to do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was listening as usual. When he talks to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he listens to you until you finish. And then he will get you if you're supposed to be, taught a lesson, you know. He told him, Osama, would you dare to intercede in the laws that Allah SWT prescribed? Because this is Hajj. He says, how can you even come and talk to me about this, you know? And then he talked to everyone. He says, the people that came before you, they were destroyed because when a rich person steals among them, they don't apply the law on him. We still have people nowadays, right? Tabaqa.
Above the law.
You do everything, you know? But those ones, the law doesn't touch them, you know? I was saying that there are people are, mashallah, salihun, you know? Very righteous when they come closer to the cameras on the highway. Yeah, I always see this when I'm coming to the airport. You know, when you come to that place, you see everyone is humble. That's the real description of... No, it's not ta'at. Ta'at al-kamarat. Two faces, you know? Because right after they pass those lights, you can see them like rockets they are going. Somebody told me, actually, the one that is calm is the a Yuhannas like us. There are some people who don't care. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in Islam, we don't have this. The law is on everyone, and it's supposed to be applicable upon everyone. That's why the Prophet said, he said, the people that came before you, when the rich people steal, they don't do anything to them. But when the poor person steals, they apply everything, the full force of the law on him. And then the Prophet said, Allah destroyed them because of this. What does that mean? We will also might encounter the same problem as they faced. You Allah, don't be deceived, you know, by Allah's, by the saying of the Prophet that Allah promised me not to destroy this ummah, right? It can happen at the individual level, and it can happen in some places. To have a destruction collectively that destroy everyone in the ummah, this one would never happen. Never. Allah told the Prophet to relax. But to find some sections of the country or Allah is causing them to be destroyed, this one will keep taking place until the day of judgment. And some of the features of that which happened to the past is going to take place in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like converting people into pigs and monkeys. Yeah, we read that in the Quran. But in this ummah also is going to happen before the day of judgment. Some of these people, because of their crimes, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Hisham bin Ammar, right? When they validate, they legalize zina, they legalize drinking of the wine, they legalize the wearing of the silk for the brothers, and they legalize the use of the musical instrument. The Prophet ﷺ said, some of them Allah ﷻ will change them into this. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, and he says, وَأَيْمُ اللَّهِ. Yeah, that's the most interesting part of this hadith. لَوْ أَنَّ فَاطِمَةَ بِنْتَ مُحَمَّدْ سَرَقَتْ لَقَطَعَتْ يَدَهَا. So that you can hear properly, he even relates her to her father. You know, the highest authority you have amongst the human being is Rasulullah. If there is somebody who should be above the law, it should be the family of Rasulullah. When the Prophet did mistake, did Allah correct him? Did he even do mistakes in his life? Yes. Abdurrahman, you don't read the Quran? Well, we'll take your license in memorization, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ. What does that mean? Mistake. لِمَ أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ, right? In the last part of Surah 2, Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا كَانَ لِلْنَبِيِّنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَعْ حَتَّى يُثْخِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. A couple of them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, but the difference between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and us is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لا يقر على خطأ. Whenever he makes mistake, Allah will fix it for him. That's a lesson for us, that nobody is above correction. And they used to also tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah, is it wahai? Or if it is not wahai, they tell him, Rasulullah, we have another ra'i. You know? They know if it is wahai, then it is from Allah, then no kalam. Nowadays they still have kalam, but in the past they have no kalam when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something. You know? So he said, وَأَيْمُ اللَّهِ لَوْ أَنَّ فَاطِمَةَ بِنْتَ مُحَمَّدْ سَرَقَتْ لَقَطَعْتُ يَدَهَا. He said, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, I swear by Allah, if Fatima, my daughter, is to steal something and evidence will be established against her, he said, I will definitely cut off her hand. So how is it possible for us to have somebody who is above the law? So that's why in our siyasa, and talking to the Muslim countries wherever they are, there should be strong revision as much as we can to make sure that we have siyasa like those predecessors, the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, and this will help to curb the corruption. Because nowadays, subhanAllah, people can do whatever they want, but immunity will stop anyone to talk to them. Just watch. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq, and may Allah grant our leaders tawfiq to do the right thing. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm talking about this issue that we have in almost everywhere you go, that if you're having a clash with somebody who is a country member, who is having a citizenship, 99% you're wrong. Islamically, we cannot decide the case. You know, a Jew won a case against a Muslim. Not just the Muslim, against the Khalifa, according to the history. Against the Khalifa, which is a joke to them. Allah, even now it's a joke, you know. I was watching a case with one of the senators in one of the countries, you know. He brought 60 Muhammi. You know Muhammi, right? Lawyers. 60 lawyers. I was like, what is that? 60, you know, to the court. And, you know, what kind of lawyers we have, you know. From here, you sense something is going to happen. That's why nowadays cases, they are decided in your absence. Now, before, it used to be an exception. Can we even decide the case if you're not around? It's a matter of question. Nowadays, we don't even go to the court. Just send your lawyers to go and do their debate. They fight each other there. We need to see the person. Sometimes from the tasarrufat of the person, from the way he looks, you can understand whether he is right. You Allah, in the qada, sometimes by looking at the person, you can sense something. If Allah wants to grant you the firasa, the judges, they use this a lot. Every single statement that person is saying, they can understand something from that statement. Please tell me, how does it work with the lawyer? The lawyer is not involved in the case. How can I get this from the lawyer? It doesn't go. So this is kind of the system that we are living with. Everywhere you go on earth, find almost the same thing, you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq. So many people cried and many people lost, you know. You see in front of your eyes, your right to be taken. But alhamdulillah, there is the day of judgment. Akhirah is there. The Prophet said, he says, whatever right you have for others that is on your shoulder, you have to settle it now. He says, before a day comes in which there is no dinar, there is no dirham, إِنَّمَا هِيَ حَسَنَاتٌ وَسَيِّئَاتٌ. He says, وَاللَّهِ لَتُعَدُّنَّ الْحُقُوقَ. You're going to give back the right to the proper owners. So this gives some relief to the oppressed person. That you know that the day of judgment is there, Allah SWT will take your right. And whoever takes your right in this life, you know Allah SWT will never let him go. One of the sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give that much respite and he takes action immediately is oppression. He says, اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهَا لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ. There is no hijab between the dua of an oppressed person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if this person is a kafir. قال ابن كثير رحمه الله. So Ibn Kathir says, this means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, looking at all of these ahadith, trying to interpret the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is following the Quran precisely until the time Quran became the attitude and the behavior and the tabi'ah, jibilla of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he managed to leave the natural tabi'ah, to turn his tabi'ah kulluhu according to what the Quran mentioned. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him, he does. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to stay away from it, the Prophet stays away from it. To support this, the karam and the shaja'ah and all of these things that we talked about yesterday, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas was describing him. He said, I served the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 10 years. He never told me why did he do this or why didn't he do this. And if somebody told me something in the house, he used to tell them, leave him. فَإِنَّمَا قُدِّرَ يَكُونَ. Whatever Allah SWT decreed will happen. Anas said, كَانَ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ خُلُقًا. He said, the Prophet ﷺ is the best in terms of manner. Wallahi, you will never see somebody who has manners like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Precisely, exactly like him. The one who is closer to him, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That's why Ibn al-Dughunna, when he was describing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he says, إِنَّكَ لَتَسِلُ الرَّحِمُ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلَّ. The same thing Khadija was describing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with, he is also saying it to Abu Bakr when Abu Bakr couldn't enter. Abu Bakr decided to leave Makkah. He told him, why do you leave? He said, because you guys don't want to let us worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, no, a person like you cannot be taken out of this place. Because you are like this, you are like that. He described him precisely in the way Khadija also was describing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are friends from the younger age. كَانَ أَحْسَنَ النَّاسِ خُلُقًا. And then he says, وَلَا مَسَسْتُ خَزًا وَلَا حَرِيرًا وَلَا شَيْئًا أَلْيَنَ مِنْ كَفِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He says, subhanAllah, you know, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a lazy person, you know. He holds things, you know, he fights in the battles and he does things for himself. He washes, he fixes, he does everything in the house, you know, by himself. Whatever he can do, and he supports the family also in the house. You know, usually this hand is like a rough hand, you know. But that's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a different case. Anas ibn Malik said, I have never touched something that is softer than the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a kind of hand that when you press, you might think that maybe it will pop. It's so soft. He says even the silk, so soft, right? He says even that one is harsher than the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, throughout my life, I've never touched something which is softer than the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the next time if you see a dream and somebody tells you Ana Rasulullah and you shake his hand and you see like Hajar, what does that mean? Allahumma stan. Tell him, go and read Hadith Anas qablan ta'ti ila dreams. Anyway, so he says, Wala shamamtu. And also I've never smelled miskan wala itran. No perfume that has the better smell than that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. He himself, you know, this good smell is coming from him. And add to that, he is always putting perfume also. He loves perfume so much. أطيب من عرق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The sweat, when he sweat, good smell comes. You know. The rest of the creation, when they sweat, mashallah, right? Fill in the blank. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is totally different. When he sweat, good smell comes from that. And on top of that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also is putting perfume, and he loves perfume a lot. The poet was describing him. فَإِن تَفُقِ الْأَنَامَ وَأَنْتَ مِنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ الْمِسْكَ بَعْضُ دَمِ الْغَزَالِ. He's talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's one of the human beings, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him in everything on top of everyone. See, that should be normal because misk also is ba'adhu damil ghazali. Qala sami'tu anabi ishaq qala sami'tu al-bara yaqulu kana rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahsan al-nasi wajhan wa ahsan al-nasi khuluqan laysa bil-tawil wala bil-qasir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best in terms of manners, and also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is best in terms of beauty. Yeah, that's why that companion was looking at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Qamar, Lailat al-Badr, Idhiyan. He says, لَيْسَ بِالطَّوِيلِ وَلَا بِالْقَصِيرِ. He's a moderate. He's not tall, he's not short. And أُوَرَتَنَا عَيْشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ مَا ضَرَبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بِيَدِهِ خَادِمًا لَهُ قَطُّ وَلَا امْرَأَةً وَلَا ضَرَبَ بِيَدِهِ شَيْئًا قَطُّ إِلَّا أَنْ يُجَاهِدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Allahu Akbar. This is to prove what I was fighting for last class, right? Adab with people in the house. You know. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never beat a child. And khadim, he never beat his khadim, the maid in the house or slave in the house, or any of the sisters in the house. And the Prophet ﷺ never hit somebody. Beating as tarbiyah, as ta'deeb, the Prophet ﷺ never did that except in the jihad. Or if Allah ﷻ commanded him when those people do something which necessitate had, the Prophet ﷺ will ask somebody to do it. But he himself, the Prophet ﷺ did not do that. That's why when the sisters complained in terms of the Prophet ﷺ that everyone is beating his wife, you know, in the house. Whenever she did something wrong, so they got beaten. فَطَافَ بِآلِ بَيْتِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم كَذَا إِمْرَةً. So sisters rushed to the Prophet ﷺ to complain. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, what did he say? He says, فَعِذُهُنَّ وَالَّتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ فَعِذُهُنَّ وَهْجُرُهُنَّ وَضْرِبُهُنَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Maw'idha first. Nowadays, who does the Maw'idha? Awliya. No. They jump to the last one. Yeah, President Shafi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you might use your strength, you know, to do that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always standing, you know, waiting to see what exactly you will be doing, and He will take action against the oppressor. So we jump to the conclusion before going to the first one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give more either. And do it in the right way, you know. Usually people do what? They shout. When she shout, he get annoyed. And what are you doing, you know? And subhanAllah, it's so funny, sometimes he will say, don't shout at me, and he's also saying, don't shout through shouting. But a wife at home is not a slave, it's just a partner, right? So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legalized that one, a person should do it in the right way. And also he has to go through the process. That's why I love the statement of the scholars that says, if a person reached to the second stage which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do and advised him to do, you know, between him and his wife, he fails. Because I'm telling you, usually when you do the first stage Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking you to do, things are going to be fixed. You don't need to go to the second one. Things will be fixed. That means nasiha, sit down, have a nice mood, change the nature of the house, you know, present some gift, you know. Take them to some other places, you know, you and your wife, and then sit down and discuss the matter. There might be some things which she has, but she cannot inform you, you know. Allahu A'lam, you know, all of these things are happening. But we don't know them because we take action in the wrong way. Do the maw'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَعِذُهُنَّ وَالْمَوْعِدَةُ الْحَسَنَةُ هِي الَّتِي تَكُونُ بِي الْحِكْمَةُ. Keep down all of your arrogance and everything, and just sit down, you and your partner, and discuss the matter. What exactly is going on between us? Don't let yourself fail, because you are a failure, I'm telling you. A failing person if you move to the second stage. But if, subhanAllah, the first stage doesn't work, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wahjurun. I'm telling you, my dear brothers and sisters, if a person does it correctly, it is going to work. They said, Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ said, you don't need to even go out of the house. When you go out of the house, that means the thing is so big. It's okay to go out of the house, but when you go out of the house, that means it is so big. So Allah ﷺ, to my knowledge, went, not even leaving the house completely, but he went out of the house and to find a room and stay for a month. They worry so much, and they want him to come back, because naturally, you know, this is what the woman wants. Man wants something and she wants something. That closeness, that togetherness, that warmth that they used to have amongst themselves, she needs that one. The husband wants something else. So to have the detachment, you know, of the bodies, you are living in some other places, you stay in the same house, you know, the same room, but you turn away there and she is there, that is very painful for somebody who is interested in the continuation of the marriage. Unless if she is already tired with that marriage, she doesn't care. You are giving her some discount, not to see your face again. Okay, I'm not saying it's good, but I'm just saying in the vast majority of the situations, if this hajr is being practiced correctly, the situation is going to be fixed. It's a means of ta'deeb that brings back the mood after the maw'idha fails, which if you do it correctly, I believe, my dear brothers and sisters, you shouldn't fail in that. But unfortunately, we do it in an angry mood, we shout, we fight with everything. How do you want her to understand you then? But sit down, do it correctly. Get the Prophet ﷺ involved in the issue. Bring ayat, bring so many things, and try advise them to see the importance of not letting shaitan get I mean, between you. After that, you go for the Hajj. If the Hajj doesn't work, then Allah SWT says, وَذَنِبُهُنَّ, which I will prefer. If you're going to reach this, I will prefer. Let her go. Give her choice. Rather than taking, because some of the people, subhanAllah, they don't know how to control themselves. I remember when we are studying this in Medina, one of the students told the Sheikh, he said, Sheikh, can I just hit her once? And the Sheikh said, no. He doesn't want once. So what did he want? 10 times? So because he understands from him that once is qatila, you know. Yeah, he's going to gather all of his strength like Allah SWT sent him, you know, and hit. And then you hear, Allah arham hagadan, you know. So anyway, so all of these things, when they come, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us what to do. He never beat a wife. Never beat a wife. And his sunnah is to be followed. Never beat a wife. That is always a way to resolve the problem. And look at the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do the hajj, you know, when he forsaken his wife, it is really effective, you know. The same one of them, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told her, sorry. She doesn't want to listen. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked her to be patient still. She doesn't want to listen. And he said, okay, I have done my part. And he leaves. She had to come back and beg him, but subhanAllah, it was too late. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never beat a wife at home. So when those sisters complained, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said what? He said, لَا تَجِدُ أُولَئِكَ بِخِيَارِكُمْ. Those people who are beating their wives will never be the best amongst you. That's why he said, the best among you, they're the best to them, to their wives. I don't know nowadays whether there is a best or not, but because if we're going to go to the houses and ask the wives to tell us, oh, what do you think? You know, if the husband is not around. If he's around, maybe she will say, yeah, this is the best. But when he's not around, she will be one of those sisters in the hadith of Mizara. So he says, those who are not the best amongst you. You know. So when Allah SWT says, وَضْرِبُوهُنَّ, we should look into the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, the best application of what Allah SWT meant by his revelation is the actions of Rasulullah ﷺ. So he says, وَلَا أَحَدًا قَطُّ, the Prophet ﷺ never beat anyone with his hand. He says, وَلَا شَيْءًا بِيَدْهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يُجَاهِدَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, except the Prophet ﷺ, when he fights for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, in the battles, of course you hit. In the way to hurt those enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا خُيِّرَ بَيْنَ شَيْئَيْنِ قَطُّ إِلَّا كَانَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ أَيْسَرَهُمَا حَتَّى يَكُونَ إِثْمًا. Prophet ﷺ has never been given a choice between two things. Either do this, or you do the other one. And both of them are okay. Except that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will choose the easiest one. Yeah, Manhaj Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's very simple. When you start struggling and you face a lot of problem in whatever you are doing to please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, believe me, my dear brothers and sisters, most likely you are doing it in the wrong way. If you follow the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your actions, it will always be simple. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whenever he has options, he will look into the easiest one. As long as it is not sin, he will go with the easiest one. He doesn't take the hardest one. Okay, I want to pass the examination. I have two options, right? Either to raise up my hand and say, Ya Allah, if you give me B+, because that's the only thing I need, I don't want to go. No problem, when it comes, no, but I need this B+. Ya Allah, if you grant me B+, I promise to fast 10 days continuously. You know, and he forgot, miskeen, Ramadan, he always suffer a lot, you know. And now he is saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will fast 10 days continuously. The other option is, Ya Allah, you are the most generous. Help me, Ya Allah, to get B+. Okay, A+. Okay? Help me to get A+. You know? Which one is easier? The second one. But usually people go to the to the first one. They think it will bring it closer, you know, as if they're doing business with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You give me, I give you, you know. But then what happens? Usually Allah wants to test those ones. He gives them A sometimes. And they understand what does A mean. Unless if they're going to act like the Juha and say, no, I asked for B plus, so A comes, it is not with my condition. You know? So they know when he gives them A, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous. He gives them more than what they deserve. And now the next day is, dial the phone to Sheikh Khalid, Sheikh Abdurrahman. Wallahi, that was my case, you know, I do this and that. They never think before they ask for this, you know. But when it happens, they think, wait a minute, I'm going to fast for 10 days continuously. How? Maybe there are some solutions. And then they will start calling scholars. If Khalid tell them, no, you have to go for that. Maybe Abdurrahman is lenient. He's coming from Jeddah. Wallahu alam. Maybe he'll give me some. Sorry, Abdurrahman. So they will go and ask. Maybe he will give them some rukhsa. You know? So I'm just using this example. You should take it and apply it on everything. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you two options, always choose the easiest one. You are on a journey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, either you fast or you don't fast. It's up to you. And this fasting is sunnah fast. The only thing that the only fast that I will advise you to fast, if the journey is not that difficult, is Ramadan. Because the feeling you have in Ramadan is different, you know. Even if you're going to make it up, you say, okay, it's halal for you to do it. But that's that feeling, that's ta'am that you will get when you fast in Ramadan, you cannot get it after Ramadan. You know? And I'm going to Singapore. Why would I break my fast, you know? I'm going to Indonesia. I'm going to some place which is only 2-3 hours. I'm in the place, you know. Although, yes, it's rukhsa. I can break my fast if I want, but... So, in this case, you apply wa antasumu khayrun lakum. But if a person is fasting the sunnah fast, for sure the easiest one for him is to stay away from fasting when he is on a journey. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to give him the same reward he used to get. So why do you fast? Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you the same thing you're looking for, why do you fast? So it's a very good, you know, message for all of us and lesson for all of us that you should always take the easy way as long as it is halal. You can make it difficult for yourself if you wish, but the advice is to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam precisely, because this is the one that you can maintain, insha'Allah, until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَحَبُّ الْأَمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّتْ. And which action that is more likely for you to keep? The easy one, right? The easy one. So Anas says, Aisha radiallahu anha said, وَلَا خُيِّرَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم بَيْنَ شَيْئَنِ إِلَّا اخْتَارَ أَيْسَرَهُمَا مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ إِثْمًا فَإِذَا كَانَ إِثْمًا كَانَ أَبْعَدَ النَّاسَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. If that thing is sin, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the farthest person, you know, in terms of staying away from it. Allahu Akbar. Whenever he realizes that this is wrong, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stays away from it. That's also a lesson for us, especially the business people. It's very attractive nowadays. Not easy for them to stay away from it. When money comes, the eyes closes. وَتَحِبُّنَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنْ تَقَمَ لِنَفْسِهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُؤْتَى إِلَيْهِ إِلَّا أَنْ تُنْتَهَكَ حُرُمَاتُ اللَّهِ فَيَكُونُ هُوَ يَنْتَقِمُ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Never took revenge in his life. What kind of manners is this? Tell me, who can be equal to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard? You know? Never took revenge in his life. If you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taking revenge, he's doing it on behalf of Allah. That means the law of Allah have been violated by somebody. The laws of Allah have been violated by somebody. This is when you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam getting angry. But when the thing is happening to him, he himself, he doesn't take revenge. So add to that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't keep something in his heart. You know, in the way we hate and we keep it in our heart, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his heart is always clean and pure. So these are some of the manners, only some, you know. There are books written about the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Almost every book of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam contains this. Akhlaqun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you have the books of Sirah, completely, all of them. And you have the Kutub al-Shama'il, Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, whether those which are written by the contemporary scholars or the early scholars, they are all telling you about the manners and the attitude of the Prophet ﷺ, and all of them are translating the saying of Allah, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَسَتُبْصِرُوا وَيُبْصِرُونَ بِأَيِّكُمُ الْمَفْتُونَ أي فَسَتَعْلَمُ وَسَيَعْلَمُونَ بِأَيِّكُمُ الْمَفْتُونَ. You know, they told the Prophet ﷺ, you are Majnoon, right? That's one that I said is the word that the kuffar like so much, you know. They are the worst type of Majaneen, but they always call the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Majaneen. So Allah says, you will know, and they will know in the future, on the day of judgment, or even in this life, who is the real Majnoon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told some people, they said, Kadhabun Ashir. Allah says, Sayya'alamuna ghadan, manil Kadhabun Ashir. SubhanAllah, this is so scary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, they will. No, because Allah has His own plan and has His own decree. Those people, He planned for them a time in which they will be destroyed. That time has to come first. So it is Sayyalamuna Kadhim. They will remember this, you know. So بِأَيِّكُمْ الْمَفْتُونَ, they will know who is Majnoon and who is possessed by the Shaitan and who is Awla بِالشَّيْطَانِ, according to some interpretations. So they are going to know this on the day of judgment, or they will be realizing this in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna rabbaka huwa a'lamu biman dhalla an sabilihi wa huwa a'lam bil muhtadin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows better. You know, ayyul fariqin. You know, they call themselves righteous, right? And the Prophet Allah is a wrongdoer. A'udhu billah. Ala aqidati fir'aun. Ala aqidati fir'aun. Fir'aun told his people, وَمَا أَهْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ الرَّشَدِ. Why is this politician, you know? Fir'aun is saying to the people, مَا أَهْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ الرَّشَدِ. So they told the Prophet ﷺ, you are wrong. You're in the wrong way. You deviated from the right path. Allah says, you will know. And He says, only Allah SWT knows who is in the right path. And He told us who is in the right path. And that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who follow him. Huwa a'lam biman dhalla an sabilihi wa huwa a'lam bil muhtadin. So he knows who is misguided from the right path and who is also upon the right path. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fala tut'in mukaththibin waddu law tudhinu fayudhinu wala tut' kull halafin mahin hammazin masha'in binamim manna'in lil khairi mu'tadin athim عُتُلٍ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ زَنِيمٍ أَنْ كَانَ ذَا مَالٍ وَبَنِينَ إِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُنَا قَالَ أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ. Let me start with the last one. سَنَسِمُهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ. You know the khurtum? What is khurtum? The trunk, right? Allah says, we are going to put mark on him. Wherever he goes, he will be recognized by that mark. SubhanAllah, keep this in mind and then see the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing this guy. There is nothing left which would make you in doubt that this person is the intended one. That's why some said, it's like the companions are confused. Whenever an ayah is revealed, they will say, maybe it's that one. But then the next one will come. No, this one doesn't do this. They will move to another one, more criminal than him, you know. Until the time or tullin ba'da dhalika zanim is revealed. It says some of them say, now we know somebody who qualifies all of these. So do remember the saying of Allah, sanasimu ala al-khurtum. Then you understand that this description and this jarh, you know, this is the worst type of jarh you will ever hear in your life. There are some scholars in this life, among the scholars of jarh wa ta'deel, they said, idha jarahu shakhsan, when they criticize and they talk against somebody, that injury they cause him most likely will never heal. Like Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, Shu'bah, said those one people sometimes when they see them, they run away. Out of the fear that you might make something by mistake, they say, Fulan min ahl al batil. So wherever you go looking for marriage, they'll tell you, Masalam. Not only for hadith, you go to the people also, you might be rejected wherever you go. So Fulan shouldn't leave in that time. Anyway. قَالَ فَلَا تُطْعِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't you ever obey the mukathibin. Who are the mukathibin? The liars. Yeah. All of those kuffar in Tamil, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are saying none other than lies against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, kathib is rejected and has no place in Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never legalized it except in three places, right? Three places, and these places are all tawriya, if you look at them, right? The Prophet ﷺ said Ibrahim never lied in his life except three times. Yeah, I like it when the scholars twisted, he said maybe some of us only three times they don't lie in their life, you know. But Ibrahim lied only three times in his life. He said Sintani fi dhatillah, and the other one is when he says about his wife, innaha ukhti, and he meant أُخْتُهُ فِي اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. These are all tawriya. The other one, بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا, and also his statement, إِنِّي سَقِيمُ, right? These are all, if you look at them, at the end of the day, these are all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are أشبه بالتوريا. Tawriya is to use a word which has two different meanings, but you mean the farthest one, and the one that you're speaking to will understand the closest one. Get the idea? The one that stole the land, and the judge asked him. They went to the land first to see, the judge wanted to see where is the land. So he asked him, can you swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this land belongs to you? He is asking the thief. The thief says, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ أَنَّمَا وَطِعَتْ عَلَيْهِ قَدَمَايَ مِلْكُلِّ. He says, I swear by Allah that what my feet step on is mine. And he's referring to his shoes. Because he came with the shoes, you know. He's referring to the shoes. Billahi alaykum. Who understands shoes here? Everyone will understand the land. That's why, subhanAllah, this religion is very comprehensive. You know, even those ones, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got them. He said, Yameenuk ala niyati ala ma yusaddiquka bihi sahibuk. He said, Alameen ala niyati mustahlif. The yameen, the swearing that you have, the oath, must be based on what the one that you are fighting trusts you on. So we come for the land, whenever you say, whatever is stepped by my feet, Islam understands the land. You go and understand the shoe, this is for you, you know. But you cannot do tawriya in the yameen. The Prophet ﷺ said, al-yameen al-anit mustahlif. The man asks you to swear for something, you cannot do tawriya at all. That's why they said tawriya is a lie and is a crime, except if you are oppressed. If you know, if you don't do the tawriya, you might be in trouble. You do tawriya to go out of the trouble, like what Ibrahim alayhi salam did. So three places the Prophet said you can lie in your life. Other than that, lying is rejected. Lying to your wife, can she lie to you? Okay, we should ask her. Yeah, I used to say no, looking at the attitude of some brothers, you know, because two different natures you are dealing with. She might trust him again, you Allah, she might trust him again. But if you come to the outside, if she lies once, I think it will follow her until the grave, you know. So I used to say that she should just let him take the side of the line. But then the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in some narrations, he talks about the spouse lying to the other spouse. But this one should be in a very critical moment. There is no any other way to go out of it except if that kind of tawriya has been made. A person can do it to save the marriage. Lying when you fix between two people who are fighting each other, or lying when you are at the battlefield. Like when they told the Prophet ﷺ, he asked them, who are you? They said, from Makkah. And then, so they told him exactly what he is looking for. And he promised them also to talk about himself if they asked. So they said, oh, you, who are you? He says, نَحْنُ مِنَ الْمَا. He said, we are from water. He really put them into trouble. They went a little, they kept on saying, أَهُوَ مَاءُ الْإِرَاقِ. So you can see, but he is referring to what? The asal of human being, right? Al-mani, or everything is from from water. وَجَعَلْنَا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. So tawriya during the battle, because you will never tell your enemy who exactly you are and how many weapons you have and how many people you are. So lying is rejected Islamically, and one of the punishments of a lying person, you know, person who lies, is to be humiliated in this life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَيْنَالُهُمْ غَضَبٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَذِلَّةٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُفْتَرِينَ. One of the scholars says, كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ كَفَّارَةٌ فَأَمْرُهُ هَيٌّ فَلِذَلِكَ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لِلْكَذِبِ كَفَّارَةٌ. Every sin that you see kafara being given to you, that you can compensate, you can pay for it, that means it's quite easy, you can settle the case here. That's why there is no kafara for lying. So Allah says, do not obey a liar. And subhanAllah, this is natural. Wherever you go, a liar has no place in the community. What do law tudhinu fayudhinun? Allah SWT is talking about the kuffar. They always wish that you can, be lenient. They will also come. That means you accept some part of their culture, they will accept some of yours. You know? They always wish that to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam having this concession, you know, giving some, making some leniency concerning their object of worship, so that they can also do that. They will never, but they always wish to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognizing them somehow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now he starts with that description that I said, سَنَسِمُ عَلَى الْخُطُومِ should be in your mind to understand how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really وَسَمَهُ عَلَى الْخُرْطُومِ قَالَ فَلَا تُتَعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ. Don't you ever trust that kathib. You know, when you see the kathib, somebody who lies always, that means there is khalal and deficiency in the aql. Allah says, كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ. You know, he describes him with what? Mahana. And he becomes a liar, and also always swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why it's not good. Whenever you speak, you have to swear by Allah. Every time, wallahi, every time, wallahi. Allah says, لا تجعل الله عرضة لأيمانكم أن تبروا وتتقوا وتصلحوا بين الناس. So Allah says, that dissolute, you know, ضعيف العقل, the one who has deficiency in his aql, who lies and always swears by Allah, whether it is necessary, it is not necessary, whenever he speaks, wallahi, you know, billahi, watallahi, you know. As I always tell you, they told me about one of them, when he says wallah, they said they realize that whenever you hear him saying wallahi, that means he's going to lie. I heard the Safina to Qawmi Nuh, Safina to Nuh, the khutbah of Safina to Nuh, I don't know whether you heard that. They brought it once, alhamdulillah, you're one of the, you know, the one that says Nuh was in the Safina, and then that's the one. He saw something on top of him. He told Jibreel alayhi salam, he says, Edi, you know, that's the word he's saying, Edi, you know. And the Jibreel told him, Di America. So in that place, in that ship, he said, the America, the Australia, I think that's two countries he mentioned, right? And then the last one, he saw angels protecting them, you know. He wanted to praise Egypt because he is from the Egypt. Okay. That was from the Egypt. She didn't stop coming to my class after this. So he said, there were angels protecting the Australia and also the US, you know, and he asked Jibreel, who are these? He said, these are angels protected, and the US protected by angels. Well, like some people, they don't know how to do, like, if he mentioned Mecca and say angels are protected, somehow it can go, right? Although it is also a lie, but somehow it can go. But they use the US, and هَذِهِ مَلَائِكَةٌ يَحْرُسُونَهَا. And then he saw another one, this one is, he saw no angel protect. He asked, what is this? He said, this is Mesir. He says, but how come I did not see anyone protecting it? He said, because he harusa Allah. SubhanAllah. Yeah, this is Nuh of the Safinat Nuh khutbah, you know. They call them khutbah to Safinat Nuh. I don't know whether it's still there in the media or not. But somebody was refuting him. He has so many people talk about him after that khutbah. And he came and refuted them also, you know. People are battle, they have answer to everything, you know. He also refuted them. But somebody was saying, he said, this man, one of the things you will remember about him is, he said, whenever he says, Qasaman billah, he is going to lie. He said, go and check yourself. Whenever he says, Oksimu billah, check about the information he's going to mention, he will see a lie. Allahu alam. But you have some people, whenever they speak, they swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ. Don't you ever trust that person who is always swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also humiliated, and a person who has deficiency in his aql. قَالَ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاعٍ بِنَمِيمٍ. One of his evil attitude is that he always backbites others. Swearing a lot, lying, swearing, useless in his aql, prodigal. On top of that, Hamas, always backbite others. And backbiting also has no place in Islam. What is ghibah? Dhikruka akhaka bima yakrah. To mention your brother with that which he doesn't like. Qalu ya Rasulullah, ara'ayta in kana fihi ma aqul. He said, ya Rasulullah, what do you think if he does what I'm saying? Qala fa in kana fihi ma taqul faqad tabtahu. If he's doing what you are saying, then this is ghibah. But if he is not doing, then this is a lie. فَقَدْ بَحَدْتَهُ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ. So, ghibah has no place in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَكْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيِّتًا. And Sheikh Atiyah, Sheikhuna, one day he was explaining this ayah. He has a very nice rabt in terms of munasabah between these ayat. He said, look at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ بِئْسَ الْاسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ وَمَن لَّمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing he stopped is sukhriya, making fun of others. Because if you don't make fun of others, that means you respect them. When you make fun of others, respect is not there. Okay, I'm not talking about joke, but you're making fun of them. You really mean it. That means you're belittling them. When you do that, the respect is not there. When you make fun of them, what happens after that? They get offended. And sometimes they react negatively towards you. Get it? So you are giving them alqab, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ, you know, بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفَسُوقِ. You're giving them the alqab they don't like, you know, they will get offended. When they get offended, naturally the person who is making fun of them will start to think, why does he worry? Maybe he's doing what I'm saying. Otherwise, if he knows he's not doing, then why is he worrying about this? He should know that I'm just joking, you know. Why does he worry? If a person is not careful, shaitan is going to push him in a way he will start doing what? Tajassus. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. يَجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. Because after that, when he reacts negatively, you're going to have bad and negative thoughts towards him. And after having those thoughts, then the next is to go and see whether those thoughts are true or not. You start asking, Fulan, what do you know about him? Because I started to have doubt in him, subhanAllah. And it started with making fun, you know. So you can see when you close that one, the rest are going to be closed by idhnillahi azza wa jalla. When you respect everyone, you will never go and do the tajassus and spy on them. When you respect somebody, you will never spy on them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. And when you do the tajassus, what will happen after the tajassus? And no, before then. Because if you do the tajassus, what are you going to see? A lot of mistakes in the life of that person. Any one of us, if somebody is going to spy on him and check about his secrets, he's going to find mistakes in his life. So now you have, even if you don't see that one, but you see a lot of things, you have something to share. When you do the tajassus, you're going to see a lot of things from that person which are negative, which nobody knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the man has not been sharing with others. And subhanAllah, wallahi, this is very dangerous, you know. Because if you do this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تتبعوا عورات إخوانكم المسلمين أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Don't you ever follow the aura of a Muslim, trying to check and spy on him to see that which he is hiding. If you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tatabbar awratak. And subhanAllah, you're going to be seeing very limited things, right? But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to expose your secret. How many things he's going to tell others? A lot, everything. He says, فَضَحَهُ وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي قَعْرِ بَيْتِهِ. Allah is going to embarrass you in front of everyone, even if you are in the middle of your house. And sometimes this fadiha comes at the last minute. A person will be lacking even the good one to come and participate in burying him, because they see things coming out when he is about to die. وَلِيَذْ بِاللَّهِ. So after this one, then tajassus will come. Tajassus means spying on others. When you spy, you're going to see things which are wrong, and then backbiting will come. You're going to tell others. Allah says, وَلَا يَكْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. So you can see, you know, as the Shaykh said, if you stop disrespecting others, you might not backbite anyone throughout your life. Yeah, because when you have high respect for Allah, I'm telling you, my dear brothers and sisters, sometimes if somebody tells you something about another person, you will start having doubt in him, not that person. What's wrong with you? You advise him. Why did he do this? You will give excuse for your brother, you know. So ghibah is rejected, and it is to mention something about your brother which he doesn't like to be mentioned. And is there any difference between the ghibah from the brothers or the sisters? And the sisters, is there any difference? No. There is no. They're the same. Ghibah is ghibah. Although some of them do it more than the other one, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same. And subhanAllah, we used to say that the sisters do it more, right? And then people don't care. Sometimes even if he sees a sister doing it, he says, what? These are the sisters. But is that wrong? I'm sorry, is that right? No. You should advise her, because in the way it is bad when you do it, it is also bad when she does it. Allah wants to see nobody's doing it, you know, because it is a tragedy. On the day of judgment, if one word destroys the sea, one word of backbiting can destroy a sea. And now we are not saying one word, right? We are saying the whole lecture about somebody, and we know we are backbiting. But subhanAllah, shaitan tells us that there are some statements you can say, you know, that can proceed, you know, the ghiba, and then it will make it not ghiba at all. Okay, I won't talk about Khalid, inshallah. Khalid, relax, inshallah, it will never happen. But I go to Abdurrahman, you know, wallahi Khalid hada. But by the way, Abdurrahman, I'm not backbiting. Even in front of him, I will say it, you know. But wallahi Khalid, you know, that time you people are thinking of who does this, he is the one. You know? But don't tell anyone, please, that's between me and you. So I believe when I say to him, I can say it in front of him, this is not backbiting. We always do this. Even in front of him, I can say, to make Abdurrahman relax, to listen. Because I'm having doubt, maybe Abdurrahman will reject me, but I will tell him, these are facts, these are true, even in front of him, I will say it. So I'm telling Abdurrahman that I am so bad in terms of manners and attitude in the way, I also don't care to go against the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. He says, بحسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم. Because if Khalid is here and I'm going to talk against him in front of others, what does that mean? I'm disrespecting him, embarrassing him in the presence of others. So there is no any other way out except to take the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. My dear brothers and sisters, take this hadith seriously. Whenever you open your mouth, good should come. If you're going to talk about others, whenever you open your mouth, make sure that you're mentioning good about them. As long as a Muslim is Muslim, he's your brother, whenever you open your mouth, say good, or do what? Keep quiet. Imagine life like this, you know? But subhanAllah, nowadays you pass through a people, the way they look at you and smile sometimes and laugh also sometimes, you know that something is going on. People don't feel comfortable. That's why the Prophet said, إِيَّاكُمْ الْجُلُوسَ عَلَى الطُّرُقَاتِ. He said, don't you ever sit on the side of the road. Having your club in that place, your nadi, you sit, you and your friends at the side of the road. He said, don't do that. They say, Ya Rasulullah, hi majalusun amal anabud. He said, Ya Rasulullah, these are the places, we don't have any other place, otherwise we're going to stay at home all the time. We need to come for fresh air, you know, and it's good, you know. It's really enjoyable when you come, you know, and Shaitan likes it so much. He said, but if you insist that you have to say, then fa'atu tariqa haqqahu. That means you're going to respect others. You apply the salam. You don't. You close your eyes. You do the right thing on the road. But nowadays, فَلَا حَوْلُ لَا قُوَّةِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُطَعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ هَمَّازٍ مَشَّاءٍ بِنَمِيمٍ. Rahman, are you sure I did not exceed the time? Exceeded long ago, right? Or you want us just when the Mu'adhin started coming, and then Abdurrahman would tell me some people are living in Salahuddin and they do not eat, right? Okay. So let's stop here, inshallah. Bidhinlahi Azza wa Jalla, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish, tomorrow we come. Tomorrow the class is early, right? Yeah, at 3:30, inshallah. Because they have event at 5:30. So Bidhinlahi Ta'ala, I will be here at 3:30, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Amen. We take just one question, inshallah. Question by Sajid Hussain, Sarah Ibrahim Al-Kathshir. What is the ruling for the mixing of different types of meats on one's plate? Example, chicken, fish, and beef, and all. Or are there any exceptions to this?
I don't get the question.
I mean, he's asking.
You should invite us first. With all the meat, you know, and then, yeah, and then you can ask this question there.
Yes, I think he heard that there is this, I don't know if it's a hadith or, I mean, it's amongst the people. They say you can't have different types of meat, all of them together in your plate. It's not a good thing. Yeah.
That's why I say he should just bring it here. No, I don't know what is the question exactly for me to say. It's okay, but he should, next time, Sajid, he should practically bring all the meat here. Oh, Akhu Khalid. Okay, or Shakikuhu. So explain to us, what is the question? So I thought actually, Rahman, can I have my mic here? I'm just kidding. I thought he is asking about you putting your hand in front of others, taking the meat that is in front of them because you don't like the one in front of you. Like, you like fish and they put camel meat in front of you. Too far the gap, you know. They put camel meat in front of you and all the fish in front of Khalid. Can I put my hand in front of him and pick it up? Since the Prophet ﷺ said, "Wakul mimma ilik." Yeah. I thought the question was about that. Then the answer is yes, because Anas bin Malik said, "I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa yadihu tatatabba'u ad-dubba amam an-nas." You know, he was chasing the qara, that what is qara? Pumpkin, right? Yeah, he was chasing it from the front of others. You know. So that's why the scholar said, if the food is of different type, the sister who is presenting the food, she should try her best to put every type in every place. Yeah. Otherwise, at the end of the day, they will do like? No. Doing like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is okay. Like Juha and his son. Yeah, this is a Juha story, right? Yeah. Juha and his son, and all the meat is in front of the child, and he doesn't have the meat in front of him, and the family are there watching. It's so embarrassing as a father to put his hand in front of the child. So he told the child, you know, in the school, my teacher told me that the earth is going around like this. Until the time the meat comes in front of him, and then he stops. But the child also is Juha, also he understands the joke. He said, yeah, you're right, Dad. My teacher also told me when it goes to that place, it comes back here. So to avoid this Juha practices, they said that a sister should put the food every type in every place so that a person would not need to go and put his hand. And also we can keep the the meaning of that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kul mimma yalik, because he has everything in front of him. Why does he go there? You get it? But if, let's say, it is not in that way, and the food is everywhere, and the one that he wants is in the other place, he can put his hand and take from there. As for the question itself, if it is in the way I understand, just mixing meat, this one and that one, I don't know. This question should be taken to atibba. Yeah, Islamically, halal is halal. Allah says, ma fil ardi jami'an, right? Cow is halal, camel is halal. I never got a place where it is mentioned that you cannot mix the camel meat with the sheep. I never got this. But he should ask the tabib, the atibba, mixing those meat all together at once and eating them, is it harmful or not? Yeah, as far as I know, it's not. Because we eat fish, we eat chicken, we eat everything at the same time, and alhamdulillah, still healthy. You get it? Yeah, so if the atibba has something, we should go with the waqi' and what they are saying. Because not always atibba are right. Sometimes they say something, but the waqi' yukadhibu. We go with the waqi', right? That's why when they said, la ta'akul al-samak wa tashrabu al-laban. Yeah, they say it harms. But there are some people who eat samak with laban. Never get into trouble. If I come and say that, yeah, when you eat samak and mix it with the laban, you will get into trouble, those one will tell you, you are lying. Because throughout their life, it never put them into trouble. So that was an old method for the Nuhat, you know, and the linguist, you know, they used to give, but it is not applicable on everyone. Okay. Allahu Alam. Well, that's it.
Sorry, Barakallahu
Alaykum. As-salamu wa rahmatullah.
We mentioned in the class about the person who makes the dua and he says that, oh Allah, if you give me B plus, I'll fast for 10 days. And then this person, he doesn't fast. So will he have to do a kafara?
Do I need to complete that? Yes, he has to do the kafara. When he swears by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he meant it, he must go for the kafara if he cannot fast. Then he can go and break his promise. Very shameful, promise Allah and then do, you know. But he can go against it through the kafara. Kafara is to free a slave. How much is that? Wallahu a'lam, free a slave. Should be, you know, free a slave or fast for 10 days. Feed 10 needy people or give them clothes. If he cannot do one of these, then he goes for fasting for three days. But the thing, the promise itself is, you know, is fasting, and he's running away from that. But maybe he will accept since this is only 3 days. Yeah. But as I said, I really advise a person to stay away from promise throughout his life, completely. إِنَّمَا يُؤْخَذُ أَوْ يَسْتَخْرَجْ بِهِ مِنْ الْبَخِيلِ, the Prophet ﷺ said. Yeah, there are people who, they don't want to give anything, so we ask them to promise. He can only give when he promises. If he doesn't promise, he will never give. As other people, they don't need to promise. So you also shouldn't promise, just go straight forward to Allah. Ya Allah, I want this. Ya Allah, I want that. When the result comes, you get the A+, then fast. As much as you can, if you can fast. If you cannot fast, stay away from fasting. But it is not obligatory upon you. It is not going to be a burden. Allah grant us tawfiq. Ameen. Is it? Okay. Inshallah, I see you tomorrow. بإذن الله عز وجل. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.